Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One,
Spotify,
and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. Time for the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast.
Yes, welcome to the MIP. I am the playmaker Michael Irvin, and this is the Michael Irvin Podcast, and we have a great show for you today. Dwayne Haskins gets caught without a mask looking at some ass. Oh, I can't wait to talk about that. The Steelers continue to slide as the Patriots slide right out of the playoffs. And we will also talk to one of the baddest men catching passes today. That's the Buffalo Bills superstar wide receiver, Stephon Diggs. Bad man, Stephon Diggs. But let's jump right into it. And before we jump into big deal, no big deal, I want to take a moment because we are all right now celebrating Christmas. Christmas is a time that you spend with family and all of your loved ones. It's the end of the year, so you kind of get to a place where you look back over the year and say, man, I'm so thankful to have family and loved ones around me. My heart is heavy because we lost another one of our family members during this holiday season. We lost Kevin Green, Hall of Fame linebacker, Pittsburgh Steelers, Carolina Panthers. This man was a bad man. I mean, played the game like you're supposed to play the game, always giving all he had. When I heard the news, and I got the news before the media got it, we always get the news before the media got it. When any Hall of Famer passes away, the Hall of Fame notifies everybody in the hall right away so we can start praying. And certainly they did it this time. And other guys start calling each other, man, and checking on each other when this happens. And now it's getting to where you look around and you say, well, Kevin was 58. I'm 54. I played against Kevin. And when I talk to guys that played during my time, played against Kevin, played with Kevin, we all kind of feel like we know what we did to our bodies is going to cost us. But when you're in the midst of it, you don't think about it. You think you are invincible. And then we get news like at 58, Kevin Green gone. And we all kind of tighten in as a family. We all start worrying as a family. Everybody starts calling around and checking on everybody. All the Hall of Famers, man, you okay, man? Have you been getting checked out, man? Yeah, I've been getting checked up. I'm doing what I need to do. All of these things, man, because you feel like, honestly, batter's up. You start feeling like you're in the batter's box and it's getting close. And you see Kevin looked great. On my phone today, it popped up the picture that we did just last March on Family Feud. Isn't that crazy? Kevin and I was standing right next to each other and it was all Hall of Famers, you know, Chris Carter. We were doing Family Feud together, having so much fun in the back talking about the games we played against each other, the times, the things that have gone on. And then today you get the news that our brother is gone. I just want to pray for his family. I want to ask you guys out there to pray for his family. And I ask God to hold his family tight and love them right through this holiday season as they miss a husband, a father, a son, a brother, an uncle, cousin, Hall of Fame football player and a Hall of Fame person, and Kevin Green. God be with you, my brother, on your journey from time to eternity. I will see you in the Ray Niskey luncheon in heaven one day. Hold a seat. We will be there. God bless you, my brother. We love you.
I think Kevin Green really tripped him up. Kevin Green was on the ground, and he just throws his leg. Watch Kevin Green. He comes from the top up there. Kevin Green did an excellent job. Green is in pursuit. That was Kevin Green. He was dogging Sims all the way.
Kevin Green coming strong on Jim Kelly.
All right, everybody. Now, let's crank this thing up and get to big deal or no big deal. And you know, I'm sorry, y'all. this story right here. Dwayne Haskins caught maskless, at a strip club in a viral Instagram video. Teams say they will handle internally. Big deal or no big deal? Stop playing. Y'all know this is a big deal. This is a big deal for a lot of reasons. And I want to jump into a few. Let's just start with, first of all, what is Dwayne Haskins doing maskless? If you're going to go in, that's the one thing that I must say that the pandemic has brought. You can put these masks on and walk around and kind of hide now. You know, if you had done it before, especially being a black man with a mask on, they'll swear you're going to rob somebody. But now everybody has a mask on. So why would you take that mask off and let people see that it's you in the strip club when you know you are not supposed to be there? This is a big deal. And I'm not just saying it's a big deal to get on Dwayne Haskins. I'm not doing that. As a man that had partook in those establishments before, I'm not getting on Dwayne Haskins only. I'm saying it's a big deal to take this moment to raise up the rest of the NFL. I can't believe this is the first time here up in week 16. This is the first time. I thought we were going to get many. No. That wasn't enough minis. Many stories like this. So kudos to all my brothers, especially them young brothers, who's obviously way more strong than me. Because I promise you, I just don't know if they could have at 22 or 23, if I could have followed all of these rules. I know one thing. If I did follow the rule, Dwayne Haskins, I wouldn't have taken off the mask, buddy. You see what I'm saying? The only reason I think that you took off the mask is because they weren't giving you the love you needed until they saw who you were. And then you said, hey, baby, no, baby, this me. This Dwayne Haskins. Girl, come on, let's stop playing. So I don't know. That's what somebody told me. I'm just saying, big deal. Dwayne Haskins, come on, man. Focus on what's at hand right now. You guys got an opportunity to get to the playoffs, win the NFC East. What are you in the strip club celebrating? You lost the football game. I know you threw for 295 yards, but you threw two interceptions. Get out of the strip club, man. Go spend some time with the film room. Or just keep your mask on when you are in the strip club. Let's keep it moving. Steelers lose to Bengals 27-17 on Monday Night Football. That's the third straight game the Steelers have dropped. That's after starting 11-0. This is a big deal. The mental attack that they must be going under in their own head, messing with their own mind. You go from thinking in that locker room, man, we got a chance at history, doing what has never been done before when you were at 11-0, to dropping all the way to a place where you're saying, man, we got to fight to win this division. Because if they continue that slide and the Browns continue to win and they meet each other in week 17, boy, you can go from working on an undefeated season to losing the undefeated season to losing the division. That's a hell of a drop. And I just don't know, when they go in as a wild card, will they be able to recover from that? That's a big deal. They got to get back on track. They got to find somebody to run the football. And I got to believe Mike Tomlin will find a way to turn this thing around for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Get back on track, Ben. Because Ben doesn't look like Ben either. He's just missing some easy reads. I won't call them easy reads because I don't play quarterback, and all of reads are hard because people are always moving around and trying to disguise coverages. But Big Ben's been around long enough. He's a veteran. He has to do better. They have to help him with the run game. But he has to do better also. Let's keep it moving. Big deal or no big deal? My Dallas Cowboys beat the 49ers. 41-33. No big deal. No big deal. And I kind of want to dive into this because I'm happy they won. This was a great rivalry. Do you understand how great this rivalry is? When I got to the Dallas Cowboys, that's the first thing I thought about was the catch made by Dwight Clark. And I remember we were losing games. And I said, one day we're gonna be playing San Francisco. I want to make a catch. I want to change that narrative and change the history and make a catch. And I made some catches. I made some catches. But I don't know if I can call out that I made one that I would call a catch. I do remember one year, I'll share this with you. We were playing. And the second time we beat them. And we were running this play called 896. I got a post. Alvin Harper has a curl on the other side, on the backside. We ran the play maybe four times in the game already. And every time we ran the play, they were double-teaming me, rotating to me, so Troy would come off me and throw the curl route to Alvin Harper. Right? We were up. Game on the line. It was third down. I don't know. I don't remember how many yards we need, but it was a crucial down. I think we're up by 4 points. North sends in the play, 896. I run this play three, four times today, and they've never thrown that eight route, which is just a skinny backside skinny. It's a skinny backside. Troy Reed, me first. If he doesn't get it, he comes off, read the tight end, and then the Z-back, which was Alvin Harper, on a curl. By the time Troy came in the huddle, he said 8-9. Before he said the 6, I left the huddle. Pew! I ran to Alvin Harper's spot. I was playing the Z. Now, I'm the X, but I went and lined up in Harper's spot. And Hart looked at me. I said, go run my route. Go run my route. I pointed to him. He ran over there because the clock was running down. Troy looked at me. I said, snap the damn ball. Let's go. I'm going to win this game for us right now. Man, he snaps the ball. They rotate the defense to me over on the curl route. And they run one-on-one backside to Alvin Harper. Troy draws back. Hit Alvin Harper on the post, on the slant. He's running 80 yards up the field. I look back like, oh, my God. Harper is running with my football. Troy runs by me. He says, Michael, that's what you get right there. And I threw my hands up. I said, oh, my God. Harp got the catch. I took my own self out of possibly having the catch. But I digress. Let's get back to that. Why'd I go into that? Because it's no big deal that the Cowboys won that game. Let's keep it moving. Big deal or no big deal? Bills win AFC East for the first time in 25 years. This is a big deal, and I need to say congratulations to the Bills. For the first time in 25 years. I'm pretty sure I was the last. I was there the last time because I think you got to the Super Bowl. And when you got to the Super Bowl, that's where we smacked them down. Get on back out of here. You AFC East champs, but you will not be Super Bowl champs. That does make me think about it. 25 years is a long time. It's a long time, man. And going into this game, we were calling the score, and I said, I'll take the Bills. And I was trying to figure out, okay, what do I see this team scoring? And I said to myself, I see three TDs, two field goals. Right? Three TDs, two field goals. I gave them 27 points. I said they'll score 27, 28 points, if they get, you know, something like that. Then I said, if they can score 30 or 35 against Broncos, that'll tell me something, that maybe they are ready to play the Chiefs. That's why I'm telling you this is a big deal. And then I said, but if they can get 40, boy, that means they're really ready. They went out and got 48. They won 48-19 over the Broncos. Folks, this is why this is a big deal. I pondered, because we all wonder who's going to challenge the Kansas City Chiefs. You see Pittsburgh's on the skid now. You know the issues Baltimore have when they have to play catch-up. Tennessee has a chance because they got that motor. That's what I call Derrick Henry, a motor. But Buffalo said, wait a minute. Buffalo in the AFC, they have the best chance right now, and they made a statement in that game. This is why this is a big deal. They scored these points because they hear everybody is asking, can they play with Kansas City? They made a statement about their offense when they put up 48 points. They were saying, we can play with the Kansas City Chiefs. And that is impressive. That's why this is a big deal. We got to ask Stephon Diggs about all of that. That is a big deal. I want to know what they're thinking about that or talking about it going into the game. Because that offense just looked too great for me to sit and think that they did not make an effort to show the world that they can play with the Chiefs. That's a big deal. And congratulations one more time for the Buffalo Bills. Big deal, no big deal. Next story. The Patriots will miss the playoffs for the first time in 12 years. This is a huge deal. It's the greatest dynasty that we've ever seen. My years of winning, man, we won three Super Bowls in 4 years. We should have won five, at least four in a row, then maybe miss a year, then come back and win another. But that's gone. Might get out of that. That's history. Yesterday, it's gone. But the Patriots, that dynasty has been incredible. They haven't missed the playoffs in 12 years. They had 19 straight seasons with a 500 or better record. The only one that beat the 19 is the Dallas Cowboys with 20. I just got to drop that just to give you knowledge. That's why it's America's team, even though people are getting on it now because they don't do much now. But that's not where we are. Huge deal. Bill Belichick is not in the playoffs. Tom Brady, this is what he was talking about. This is what he wanted. He wanted everybody to know that he made a difference. And how could we not see that he made a difference? 12 years ago, when they did not make the playoffs, they did not have Tom Brady. Today, right now, they are not making the playoffs. They do not have Tom Brady. And we always want to find out who was the most important. So right now, everybody will start leaning over and saying, well, Tom was obviously the most important. I hope this big deal, I hope the rest of the NFL take note. when you got something great, man, stop worrying about, well, who gets the credit for this? Who gets the credit for that? I know. I went through it. Watching Jerry and Jimmy, they broke up when we were at the top of our game. At least the Patriots got a chance to work that thing out for 20 years before they broke up. But the reality is, everybody is important when you're doing something this kind of great that they were doing. Bill Belichick will be back. Don't you guys, don't just think that Bill Belichick is going to go away forever. He'll retool some kind of way. He'll find a way to come back. Now, the issue is, the juggernaut he had, I'm sorry, that's over there in Buffalo now. So when you come back, you better come back right. You know what I'm saying? Because Buffalo is right now. Next story. Big deal or no big deal? Jets, the New York Jets, they get their first win by beating the Los Angeles Rams, 23-30. What's the bigger deal? Win for Jets or the loss for the Rams? Now, if you lose to the Jets and you're the Rams and you have aspirations, and they do, and when we did the Mulligan, I took the Rams because of what they have on defense and Donald and Ramsey. I said, man, and I love the way Sean McVay has retooled the offense. I thought this would be a great, great matchup. They will get there. So I was shocked the Rams lost to a team that had no victory. But the bigger deal is the Jets won a game. Not just because they got their first win. Because sometimes in a situation like this, when you win, you lose. And if they would have lost this game, they would have won. When the Jets won this football game, they lost the number one spot in the draft. The Jags now take that number one spot in the draft. So you win a game and you lose a Trevor. You win one game and you lose a Trevor Lawrence that could have won you a few Super Bowls. Folks, sometimes when you win, you lose. Sometimes when you lose, you win. If they could have just kept losing, they would have won Trevor Lawrence. But you can't tell players that, because players, they're walking around this city and they are hearing everybody talk about they are garbage because they keep losing games. And a victory for them, that's all they want. They're not even thinking about giddy Trevor Lawrence. They just want to get people off their back. Well, people won't get off their back because there's only one win. And I don't think you'll ever get the number one spot back, because I don't see Jacksonville winning any of these last two games. Jacksonville, they have to play Chicago and at Indy. The Jets finish with the Browns and at the Patriots. They may even beat the Patriots on the way out. Jets, yeah, congratulations on your win. And I'm sorry for your loss. Now, let's turn our attention to that bad man, Stephon Diggs. Hey, joining the MIP, I told you that I want to talk to all the best receivers out there to find out what makes them tick. Why are they so great? And the guy that we have right here right now is simply the greatest in the National Football League. The man that has turned the corner and just made everything in Buffalo perfect again. Big superstar wide receiver, Stephon Diggs, joining the MIP, the Mike Irvin Podcast right now. Steph, I just want you to know, buddy, if you know what I had to do to get to you, you know what I'm saying? I had to fly in Montgomery. I'm stuck in a stall just to talk to the baddest man in the league. Steph, how's everything going, buddy?
All is well. I appreciate you having me, man. Happy holidays to you and the family as well.
Hey, hey, thanks, man. And speaking of family, man, thanks. And same to you and your family. I want to start with that stuff because I had my producer, Sean. I said, we want to just get Steph, man. I said, go and listen to that letter that he wrote to his brother, man, and tell me what you think. He called me back 2 seconds. He said, oh my God, man, that's incredible, man. You're right. We got to get him. Steph, talk to me about the origin, the letter, and give me a little bit of history of you and your brother and coming up.
I know you hold the Cowboys close to your heart, so I'm gonna give you a little bit of insight. That my little brother, it's crazy. We lost our father when I was 14, and he's 5 years younger than me. So we were super young when we lost him, and I kind of like try to step in and be a father figure to my little brother. I stayed home for college. I try to stay close to him. I try to make sure he was always in the right spot, doing the right things, and you know, being that guy that he needed because we didn't have a father anymore. So just as far as like the letter, it was just, you know, that little extra off at the light at the end of the tunnel. You know, he ended up getting drafted in the second round, and before his draft process, I just wanted to give him something to hold his head on. Something we had countless talks and countless like conversations about the NFL and how realistic it was for him and that kind of thing. But in that moment, it was more gratitude than anything. It was just me being happy for him, not just from a brother standpoint, but from a fan standpoint, because I'm his biggest fan. You know, I'm the biggest critic, but I'm also his biggest fan. So I just wanted to have something that we can look back on 10 years from now, 20 years from now. Like, did you remember this letter when I'm old and all raggedy? I wanted him to look back like, yeah, I remember that, man. So just something I thought would be cool. The NFL kind of partnered with me as well. So it was awesome.
It was a beautiful letter. It's an awesome letter. Steph, you know, one of the things, and it's just you and me, one of the things that I'm passionate about, that I try to lend my service, finance, you know, my time to, is the fatherlessness issue in this country. You know, and right now, just being straight, we're probably 30% Caucasian Americans having babies out of wedlock, you know, fatherlessness, 50% Hispanic, we're 73% African American. So you being able to step in like that, lost your father, because I lost my father at an early age too. And that's what drove me. I lost my father to cancer. And he said to me, make sure you take care of your mom. You know, I'm the one of 15, one of 17. So that the letter brought me in like, wow, this is kind of like my journey.
Exactly.
When I heard you say that your dad told you, make sure you take care of your brother. How old were you at that time? How old were you?
I don't think I was 14 yet. I think I was like 13. And I had turned 14 later when he officially passed. But it was cold outside then. But I definitely remember distinctively him telling me to take care of my brothers because I have three of them. And my first initial thought was Trey because he was so young. And I just wanted to definitely be in his life 100% because, you know how hard it is not to have a dad and not have a guidance and not have somebody pushing for you. So I didn't want him to feel anything less, you know, any less love or anything. I just didn't want to feel like he was alone in any process.
And you've done a great job, man, growing, raising him and everything. Because he's a great young man, and he's doing a great job in Dallas. So we appreciate you raising him and sending him over to Dallas. he has some heart. But Trayvon, we're talking about Trayvon Diggs. For those of you who do not know his brother, Trayvon used to play wide receiver. So you guys didn't get to go up against each other growing up.
No, we did. We did 100%. We used to go. Listen, I tell you right now, I used to play DB. So our biggest thing was, we can date this back to when we were super young, like when he was in middle school and I was in high school or however, we used to go one-on-ones. And I used to tell him, like, look, you're going against me right now, regardless if I'm older than you or not. You see what I'm saying? You, by the time, if you can compete against me, you're going to excel against anybody your age. So I used to, as he got older, he got into high school, then he got in college, and we always made it a thing. Like, he feels like he knows me more than anybody. He can check me because he know me more than anybody. I'm like, this, bro, you can't check me, bro. So even now, he's in the league now. He's, you know, he does a lot better than he used to. So we still talk a lot of junk, and I just felt like that was the biggest thing for me. Like, when he was younger, I didn't want him to experience, like, he went to Alabama, went to the biggest school. But even in high school and stuff like that, I wanted him, his competition level to be so high that he always had to raise the bar. I didn't want him to have to like have a culture shock of competition. Like, nah, you're going to get the best shit right now. You see what I'm saying? And by this time I was in the league, my first year in the league, and he's still in high school. He's 5 years. So I just didn't want him to have no culture shock. Like, damn, these guys are really good. Like, nah, you already seen some good shit. You know what I'm saying? We competing for real. Like, not like the play competition, right. Like, oh, pat you on the back. Like, we talking a lot of shit. I'm in his face. Like, he in my face. He throwing the ball at me. Like, that's what I wanted from him. I wanted him to show all that heart, and he got it.
Pushing past what is now considered to be participation trophies, where everybody get like, no, ain't no everybody getting a participation trophy. Yeah. We gonna win this game. We gonna win every time. Oh, well, the best thing is everybody get a chance to win. No, don't know everybody. That ain't real life. I gotta prepare you for real life, man. And speaking of preparing him for real life, Steph, the way this season has gone for you, man, coming over to Buffalo, hooking up with Josh Allen, just talk about the whole journey that you have made.
Like, it's crazy because I always thank God first. I give it all glory to him. You know, my first 5 years in the league, you know, they went however they went. I'm saying, like, they prepared me for this new journey. They prepared me for what I'm, all the things that I'm receiving now. But I'm just so thankful, because these are the parts in the movie that never worked out this way. You know what I'm saying? People go to a new situation all the time and, you know, things don't work out, or things do this or do. I went to a situation that, you know, with a great foundation, a great coaching staff, great players. And I was a piece that meshed with them. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't a piece that was throwing everybody off. I wasn't a piece that was like not really with the team, or it didn't work out. I was a piece that worked, and everybody around me feels the same way I felt. Like, we a family now. You know what I'm saying? Like, this, I'm bought into the process. And for it to go as well as it has gone, of course I'm shocked. You know what I'm saying? You hear people say, like, the grass isn't greener on the other side, but then people say, the grass is greener where you water it properly. Where's nursery, where you care for it. And I feel like this team and this everybody involved, my quarterback, my head coach, my coaching staff, the players around me, they wrapped their arms around me and they embraced me. And I felt like I felt the love from day one. And I just wanted to, and part of me, I never want to let them down. You know, I never want to let them down. I'm out there, give it everything I got. I'm gonna give everything I got in practice. I'm gonna try to be the best team guy I can be, because, you know, y'all put your faith in me and I don't want to let y'all down. I like the pressure. I appreciate the pressure. You don't make nothing, but, you know, make me a better person, better player.
You said you don't want to let them down, because they put their faith in you, you know. And a lot of times when you were coming over to this situation and leaving your other situation, a lot of people saying a lot of things. Oh, Steph is this, or Steph is that, exactly. Steph is that, you know what I mean? And you hear it. We always hear it. We always say, oh, I don't even hear that stuff. But all of us want affirmation and confirmation. We want to know that we mattered. You know what I mean? So hearing that, how much more did that make it feel good when you landed where you were, knowing you were in the right spot and people didn't receive all the stuff that other people had been saying?
Because it's so easy in our day and age with social media and, like, people, like, you know, if one person says this and people ride in a wave of that, because, you know, people had a false narrative of calling me a diva and calling me XYZ. And that's so easy to do with receivers, especially in this day and age, because, you know, you got this thing that receivers always want the ball, and receivers is this.
And we do. There's no doubt about that.
Our receivers do want the ball. And I feel like there's nothing wrong with receivers wanting the ball, because I could show you more guys in the Hall of Fame that wanted the ball that didn't.
Absolutely.
I know in the Hall of Fame wanted the ball. That's just from a winning.
Ain't none in the Hall of Fame
that didn't want the ball.
When I look around the Hall of Fame room, Jerry Rice, Randy, yeah, they all
wanted the ball.
All of them wanted the ball.
But I feel like it's so easy to get into the narrative of a diva. And even in my old situation, that's not something that they said. But they said I'm a team guy. But one thing about me, I want to win. I don't care how we win. I don't care how we do it. I want to win. And for me, I feel like I put in enough time with my craft and the things of how I approach the game. I'm a professional that I want to have success. And they always say, like, you know, but they don't say a lot of stuff, but individual success breeds team success. And whatever that day on that Sunday calls for us to win, I want to do that. You know what I'm saying? I don't want nothing just for myself, because I know for a fact that's not even how the game works. You know what I'm saying? You got to rely on the quarterback. You got to rely on the O-line. You got to rely on a lot of stuff, good things that happen for you to just make a play. So for me, I'm not going to say I didn't hear that stuff. I didn't hear that. I'd be on social media. I hear people talking shit all day long.
Right.
So for me, I always felt like that's fine. You know what I'm saying? I would rather you not form an opinion, but when you form an opinion about somebody based off of what somebody else said, I can demonstrate to you who I really am, and I can show you who I am, because you're going to hear a lot of stuff, and that's nothing wrong with that. A lot of, you know, a lot of words and shit, that ain't going to hurt my feelings. I'm not moved by that. What I'm moved by is what I'm going to show you on a daily basis, what kind of player I am, what kind of man I am, and how I approach this game. Because how I approach this game is, you can say a lot of things about me, but I love football. And I'm going to live and die by that. I love football. I love the game. You know what I'm saying? And I approach it with the mindset, I want to win. I want to win all the way around. I want to win. I want to be a perfectionist, and I want everything to go right so we can win. So for me, I heard about all the chirping. I heard the birds are chirping, but it's more so I had to block out the noise. I said, we're going to see you on the back end. For me, I'm going to see you on the back end. I'm more so trying to about demonstrate who I am and what I'm going to do. I ain't about talking about it. And I told everybody I wanted to earn the respect of my teammates and my coaches first. And when I do that, that's like the foundation. You earn the respect of your teammates when they respect you, and that's where, if I say your coaches, everything else will fall into place. So that's my thing. I'm going to show you who I am.
Steph, do you believe? Because I believe. Okay, when I first got to Dallas, we were not pretty good. We're not very good at all. And I remember coming in, man, with, we got to win. We got to win right now. And that's what people said, man, he's too much, man. He's too much. And it's just, I just wanted to win right now. I just wanted to win. And I pushed the guys, but, and we got it. We had a chance to turn things around because guys wanted to win. Also, when you got the Buffalo, how much of what you learned growing up, taking care of your little brother, help you when you got in that receiver room? Because I'm going to tell you, last year when I watched Buffalo, I said, oh, man, they're right there. I said it. I said, they just need one true number one receiver to show the rest of the guys, and just to play with the rest of the guys and show them a few things. Cole Beasley can play. I didn't want Beasley to get out of Dallas. I was hurt when Beasley left, man.
We got some ballers. Listen, I'll tell you right now, I learned more from Cole Beasley in the slot than I have in a year than I have learned in five. Because that's my guy. Like, my conversations with him is always on the learning curve. I'm always trying to get better. It's same with John Brown. John Brown is surgical now. People kind of forget about smoking. Forget about John Brown. I feel like he's one of the most underrated receivers because he's fast. He can do everything. He got a little banged up, but he's everything I've seen him, he's been impressive. And he has some success in games, but he just got a little nicked up. So as far as like our receiver trio and the young guy Gabe, we had a lot of pieces. And what I've seen from a distance, they had it all. They didn't put it all together, but they had it all. And when they said it, when I came in, it was in the summertime, and you know how they traded for me and all that, and like we were about to run drills and smoke John Brown, everybody all call him Smoke, because he's so fast. But he was like Steph, lead us off. Like, no, you carry this, and I was like this. For me, for them to say, all right, well, Steph, we're gonna trust you. We're gonna not put you on a pedestal, but we're gonna trust you to lead us in the right direction. I took that and ran with it.
And don't run over that. Wait a minute. You said when you first got there, because that's where I want to try to get to. When you first got there, Smoke, John Brown, he said, hey, lead us off, Steph. Because for those that don't know, whenever we are in receiver drills, we go in the order of I'm the number one receiver. I'm going first, no matter what routes we're running. Hitch, then Alvin Hopper comes behind me. So for them to concede, we understand why you are here. Lead us off. Lead us is basically what they were saying. How did that make you feel?
In the moment, I didn't really think too much about it, other than I was just going to run the drill. You know what I'm saying? This is when we were training in Florida before the season even started, before COVID, before the pandemic.
Right.
So I was like, I didn't think too much about it in the moment, just because I was like this. Well, like, you know, I got y'all, like, no big deal. Because in that moment, I ain't thinking about it like that. I was thinking about, I'm still trying to earn the respect of these guys. I'm still trying to earn the earn my family member tag, my stripes. You see what I'm saying? That's how I approach it. So it was more so just me demonstrating, like, all right, we could, you know what I'm saying? We all gonna work through this. It ain't gonna be just me.
Right.
But for me, I put them on a pedestal of like, I'm always learning from y'all. Don't, you know what I'm saying? Let's not get it confused. I might lead this thing off, but this is a whole group thing. You see what I'm saying? This is me. I'm pushing behind y'all like Cole Beasley and John Brown. I'm chasing y'all because I look at y'all as greatness. I think y'all some great players. Why not try to learn from them? Why not try to get better? You see what I'm saying? That's all.
Right. Except, let me tell you something, man. You know, listen, I'm older than you, man. I can't tell you. That right there is why I wanted to have this conversation. Right, what you're talking about. A great leader has to walk a fine line of selfishness and selflessness.
Yeah.
And lift all his guys up. But in a moment, when the time is right, I know I got to make this play. It's exactly. The fourth down game on the line. I know that's on me. You know, when those guys let you go first, when you are learning their offense, this was so crucial about it. It was like, okay, I know you don't know the offense. Somebody else should go first so we can at least – You were prepared to do that. But they received you. I'm telling you, man, I always say some people can build champions and some must be added. You know what I mean? Because if you don't know how to raise up the rest of your teammates, you'll never win anything 100%. Because you can't do it by yourself.
Hell no. Them guys was – I was out there. I didn't tell you both sides. John Brown and Cole Beasley. I'm out there, you know, I'm new to the offense. So I'm like this. I'm out here trying to give it everything I've got. I'm tired. I'm just like, damn, this is a lot. This offense is crazy. So I'm like this, like Smoke, what I got? Smoke and tell me what I got. I go to the other side. Bees, what I got, Bees?
Oh.
You got to whatever. I was like this. All right, man. That's how you know they're your brother, because, you know, some people could tell you the wrong route or tell you, like, no, I don't know what you got. Like, you see what I'm saying? Those are my real brothers. They going to look out for me, making sure, like, I'm out there doing the right stuff. Like, that's how you know. I feel like we mesh well as, like, and that's why I call them my family now.
Yeah, that's beautiful to hear, man. That's beautiful.
You know how they get a receiver being tired.
Yeah, you see that on the field, though. You see it on the field. That last game, I went in the game. I said, okay, let me see. If they put up 28 points, I'll say they're great. They put up 30. I got to start saying maybe. You went out and put up 48. I said to myself, this is a message to the rest of the league that, yes, I know everybody's asking the question, can Buffalo play with Kansas City? Can Buffalo? Because, you know, I said that right there. That was a message to the rest of the league. We can play with anybody. Have you guys had any thoughts about that as you hear the rumblings around the league?
Nah, because for us, we had our chance the first time against KC. You know what I'm saying? Right. We didn't execute well enough, but we didn't forget about it. We didn't forget about the teams that we lost to. We learned from them. The biggest thing was learning from those games and trying to proceed forward. Like, those was early in the season. The games that we lost, we definitely learned from. We got better from. And we look at it as, okay, down the road, hopefully we see those teams again, and hopefully we get another shot at them, get another opportunity. Because everybody's going to make all the, that's the only team that can do this, and they're good enough for this. But you ain't – week to week, you're only as good as you play. You know, you can go out here and lose to anybody. You know what I'm saying? The team coming with the right game plan, and you bullshitting thinking you're better than anybody. So, for us, I tell you right now, Coach Sean McDermott keeps us as humble as possible, because he go in and say – we still got to be more disciplined. You're leaving more football. He isn't all about tough love. He give us a little bit. Okay, we're doing some things well, but we can be better. There's more meat on the ball. He's a guy that keeps us hungry and keeps us in the mind frame of, we always getting better. I don't know what y'all got going on, but I feel like Coach McDermott always like this. We getting better. I don't know where you came in with the mindset of, we going to practice and we getting better. So let's go. So I love that.
I love that too, man. I love those coaches that always understand every day we have a choice to get better or worse. Let's make sure we make the choice to get better. And even the days, like Jimmy used to tell us that, he said, any day you choose to do nothing, you just made the choice to get worse because somebody doing something.
Exactly.
That's that mentality. And you can hear that in your head all the time. I'm going to tell you something. Coaches like that, man, everything they tell you, watch. You can take it off the football field and be successful in life beyond the football field, Steph. I'm telling you, you'll live on everything he's telling you when he's talking to you and telling you things like that. Steph, talk to me about the relationship you have with your quarterback. There was nothing like having my quarterback. Josh Allen is your quarterback.
That's mine.
Talk to me about that relationship.
He, just like I said, everybody else, like, he embraced me. when I first met him, I walked up on him, gave him some dap, hugged him. I'm like, damn, he's big as shit. He's way bigger than I thought he was. I was like, you got big as shit. I thought he looked small. Then I was like, he embraced me. We was playing video games. We was doing a lot of stuff that was like quarterback receiver like stuff. And I never really had that, you know what I'm saying, besides like a little bit with Teddy. And, you know, Teddy got hurt and he ended up going to another team. But this was my first time really building a relationship. And this is a young quarterback we're talking about. This isn't a guy that's been in the league 5 years, 6 years. This is a young guy that I'm looking forward to developing with, you know what I'm saying? Because up to this point, I don't feel like I played my best years in the league. Up to this point, I'm still grinding. And he's in that same spot of a quarterback that they were looking to, in my eyes, make a jump, make that next step. And he leaped. He leaped forward. You know what I'm saying? He worked on his mechanics in the offseason. He did all the things he needed to do. And everybody loves him. All the receivers, everybody on the offense, everybody on defense, everybody loves him because he's a winner. And I love him. I love him. When I see him day in and day, all we do is joke, talk junk. And one thing about him, he never makes the game more than what it is. You know what I'm saying? He keeps a level head. And even at times when I get frustrated and I'm like, shit, well, do I need to run around like this or do I need to do this? He'll look at me and say, get open, catch the ball. That's all I'm really asking from you. He put it in such simplest form, like, damn, you make it like, now let me stop thinking too much. Like, let me stop thinking too much about it. Cause he's the guy with a strong arm, with a lot of talent. He said, get open and catch the ball. Be there when I need you to be there. I got you. You see what I'm saying? That type of trust and that type of relationship, if you have with your quarterback, y'all be good. Y'all be okay for a little while. Cause I've only been with him for like, what, 6 months? As a quarterback, I ain't been with that long. And I built a real, real friendship, real brother. Real teammate like relationship because I seen him, I respect him. I seen him lay it all on the line. I seen him run like he a running back out there, stiff arming guys, running hard, throwing the ball. From that type of moxie, that type of energy from your quarterback position, make you want to play harder, make you want to catch the ball. You don't want to let your quarterback down. Make a play for him. You know what I'm saying, when things going rough, be there for him. Pat him on his back. Let him know, hey, I got you now. Don't worry about it. We're gonna get this shit together. We're gonna figure it out. So I feel like my relationship with him is pretty good. It's going in the right direction. Let's just say that. So far, so good. It's going in the right direction.
What's great? What's interesting is you talked about, you know, the relationship you guys built off the field, yeah, you know, away from the field, playing video games and everything. And I Steph, I would tell my mom, God bless her soul, and I know she's gone on to heaven. I said, Mom, you know I love you. I do everything for you. Take care of you. I don't know what. But Troy Aikman's my guy. I don't ever try to intercept the pass that he's throwing to me. I love you, Mom, but I will seriously do some damage if you're trying to get to that pass. Because of the relationship we have off the field, I will play even harder for him. Do you have that feeling for Josh?
It all translates. I feel like it all translates. If you got a relationship with your quarterback and respect and some love for your quarterback, when you get on that field, like it's a couple picks this year that I take full responsibility for, and I feel like, excuse my language, but I feel like a piece of shit for it. Like, how you not going to make that play for your guy? How you going to not be in the right spot for your guy? Because he back there shaking guys off, moving around, and giving me a hell of a ball just for me and being in the wrong spot. Or the wrong depth, or not doing something right. So I don't think he can't do no wrong to me. I tell people, hey, my quarterback can't do no wrong. If it was my fault, it was my fault. I don't care what happened. And like for me, that just makes you want to play hard. That's why I always want to make some plays for him. I always want to be there for him when shit ain't going right. Man, look, Jay, that shit gonna be shake that shit off. We all right. Your best player, what? He's like your next play. Let's go. And that shit be rocking from there.
Now you know, Steph. Some people would take it and say, oh, he loved. Josh Allen, you talk about the relationship with Teddy Bridgewater. What about the other guys? Why didn't he get a relationship with those guys? They're going to extrapolate from this and try to figure that out.
Yeah, I don't mind answering that question. Listen, Sam Bradford was my guy. Sam Bradford was one of the best passing quarterbacks I've ever had. Kirk Cousins is one of the best. Anybody can see him throw the ball. Talented, super talented. Case Keenum came in running around making plays. I got a lot of love for all the quarterbacks I played. I can't control the dynamic in the relationship. We ain't all play video games. Some people had families. Some people had kids. Some people were just also professional. Like, let's get it. Let's work. Let's grind. And never get it confused. I didn't have no bad relationship with nobody. Right. But these relationships that I did have those guys that was better is because we did have more off the field time. Like, some of these guys got kids. You can't just hang out and play video games all day. Some people got some real grown stuff to do. So it wasn't that I had bad relationship with those guys. I'm just saying that the relationship that I got with this guy now and in relation to Teddy as well is excellent because I spent time with him. I got to know him. I just
you don't play video games with everybody. You know what I'm saying? Especially nowadays, video games, it's, you can talk on the mic and have a conversation with somebody. They ain't just playing video games with it. Like, so the dynamic was different. That's what I would say. So as far as like it all being situational, I didn't have no bad relationship. I'm just saying that this, these ones is good.
Yeah, yeah, Steph, you guys play the Patriots.
Yes, sir.
And good team. And, yeah, right. We're a great team. You've already clinched the AFC East. For a lot of years, the Patriots dominated AFC East.
I
want you to tell me what it's like being in Buffalo, and I know that's such a football town, man. That's what people love their football, and clinching the AFC East for the first time in for the first time in 25 years since I beat them in the Super Bowl 25 years ago.
Wow. Oh, that's insane. For me, it's different. It's just a little different because I haven't got the whole experience of the fans. I got a little bit like this past weekend when they came out, when we came home, and it was going crazy. They were so happy, and I was ecstatic for them. I was happy for them. In my mind, for me, I don't so much relish in the moment because I'm chasing so much more. You know what I'm saying? Everybody else would be happy because I haven't been here for long. I only been here, this is my first year here. And things are going pretty well. So it's like I don't have those bad times to really relate to other than in Minnesota. When I've had some good years, I had some bad years. But I've got a t-shirt and a hat before. And I know on this team, the way we're built, the things that we want more for ourselves. We got another game this week to win. We got a game after that to win. We take those 24 hours, be thankful. But then it's more work to be done. It's more work to be done as a team because if we ain't getting better, we're getting worse. And we always trying to get better. You take those time to say thank you to the fans and thank you for those people that, you know, support you from a distance because we can't have any fans in the stadium. And I'm pretty sure people say fans like, oh, they're not playing the actual game. They shouldn't do. Man, fans are going to be more passionate than a player because they don't play the game. They're pulling for us that much. They watching everything about the game. How can you not love and appreciate your fans when they pulling for you, good or bad? You see what I'm saying? So, and this is a football town. They're going to go crazy for you. So I got a little bit of experience. Hopefully I get some more soon with some fans, but it's been a hell of a ride, man. I'm just more thankful than anything. And I'm trying to keep pushing and keep it going.
Yeah. I heard Josh after the interview, after the game. And he was matter of fact, just like you were talking about, hey, this is great. This is great. But our goals are bigger than this. And we'll enjoy this, but we know what we're trying to accomplish. And I thought, wow, for a young guy who's finally coming around and people are saying now he's their star, to handle it that way.
That's my quarterback.
That was impressive.
Yeah, that's a quarterback you want. A guy that's not happy, not satisfied, always on the – that's why I feel like this relationship works so well, because you're working with a perfectionist. I'm working with a perfectionist, and I don't want to be anything less than perfect. You know what I'm saying? I want to get better every day. What you want to do? How many balls you want to throw? I don't care what day of the week. I don't care how tired I am. We can do whatever you want to do. And you working with a quarterback like that, it's a recipe. It's a recipe that's at least going in the right direction. That's what I can say.
How do you jump on board with these guys? You haven't been there all of these last 20 years as New England have dominated all that AFC East. So you know a lot of those guys that sat and suffered through that, they're like, we're going to put the nail in the Patriots' coffin this week. How do you jump on board and make sure you grab that hammer and swing that hammer at that nail also?
I definitely see it's been a rivalry for a long time. And for me, like coming from my perspective, this is my first year, so I don't really know, but I can feel it. I can feel like guys like always take this week as a week of, you know, we need to execute well. We need to play complementary football. We cannot turn the ball over. This is a smart team. This is a savvy team. This is an active team, well-coached team. So I see the attention to detail from the first game, and then the second time we play them, it's the same thing. Attention to detail is really there, and they're not – and nobody's getting ahead of this. Everybody like this. We need to focus on this week. We need to play our best ball, and we need to continue to play our best ball because we don't got time to be getting rusty. We don't have time to be taking steps back. We're going in the right direction. Let's keep going in the right direction. And we was, bro, really work focus on not having penalties, not turning the ball over, things like that. Things that's going to make your team better in the long haul and, you know, trying to make this push. So they're really focused on finishing this season strong, and this game is going to be another challenge for the well-coached team, good defensive team, making plays on offense. It's a challenge for us every week, and, you know, you can feel like attention to detail this week is really there.
Steph, you know, is this team that you're on right now, you know what it takes. Is this team good enough to go to and win a Super Bowl, to make it through a playoff?
I say we got it. We got the best coaching staff I've ever had. We got the best guys I ever had. I don't see no why now we can't make a run in the playoffs or chase any type of success we want. But I've been in this league. I've been on some good teams. I've been in the AFC championships. You won't know until you get there and you prove it. You know what I'm saying? Our thing is, it's so crazy because our coach came out with research and said we won but not done. And it's a perfect thing to keep in your and fresh in your mind, in the front a little bit of your mind to say, like, okay, you've had some success. Okay, we played okay, good enough to get there. Let's finish the season and let's kind of keep this thing on a roll because, you know, I've been in some big games. I've been in some playoff games and I couldn't quite get over the hump. But for me, it's like, all right, well, what we got to do to get there? You know what I'm saying? What can I take from my past experiences and apply them to now to help my team, my new team? So for me, I'm not going to say we can do anything we want to do, but I'm going to say we're going to have to earn it. Just like every game, just like every opportunity, we're going to have to earn it.
And you've been earning it, buddy. You've been earning the people out here talking about you as the best receiver in the league. And I know we've had some conversations hanging out in Miami, running to you. And that's what I was like, wait a minute. The dude that I talked to, when I heard the mess, I was like, no, that's not the dude that I spent some time with.
Exactly.
It doesn't sound like that dude. That dude had a whole different demeanor. But, you know, I took it. Trust me, me of all people, I know how those things go. me of all people, Steph, know how it's going. Steph, but looking around the league, talking about being the best in the league, you talked about you want to be the best in the league. Yeah. Who do you see as the best wide receiver in the National Football League?
Myself. I'm not going to say nobody else. I couldn't say nobody else. If you say somebody else, you ain't got no confidence in yourself. It's all situational. I know people are going to say, people say a lot of shit. Like, throughout the years, I've seen guys at the top. I've seen guys in the middle. And it's all situational. Like, you got a quarterback or you got a pass-heavy offense or you got this. At the end of the day, I'm always trying to be the best receiver in the league. I'm trying to be the best receiver, period. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's all situational. I do have a good situation right now. I've been in a bunch of situations, but now this situation right here, I'm trying to win in this, and I'm helping my team win.
Can't control the situation, buddy. Exactly. But you control the kind of work you put in, mm-hmm. and everything else, man. Mm-hmm. I know you got to go, man, and I know I've held you long, man. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, but I appreciate you taking the time.
You know you're my guy. You know you're my guy.
And chopping it up. I appreciate it, man.
Anytime.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. Go ahead and be with your family, man. I know it's the holidays, man. Thanks, dog. I appreciate it.
Enjoy your fam, too. Later.
Hey, God bless, buddy.
You too.
All right, folks, now let's take a look back at week 15 and identify the playmakers of the week. Now, you know how I like to do it. I like to talk about honorable mentions first, the guys that have done some things, but they did not get the top spot, but they earned the right to hear from Mike. Guys like DeAndre Hopkins, my man, Nuke, again, he does it. D-Hop comes away with 9 receptions, 169 yards, 1 receiving TD, and a big win over, I don't know who these brand new Eagles are. They beat the Eagles 33-26, but Jalen Hurts has been balling. I should have put Jalen Hurts somewhere here just for the way he's played the last 2 games. I guess I'm giving him some credit right now because he's playing like a playmaker. But boy, right there, D-Hop, you are in the group. Other guys that have had great games that I like to holler, just talk about, like Stephon Diggs went 11 for 147, didn't score a touchdown, but I thought he set the tone for the Bills to show the world that we are here and we can play with those Kansas City Chiefs. But my playmakers for this week, and I'm going to co-playmaker this because there are 2 great stories that I love, and I love what the stories say to us. David Montgomery from the Chicago Bears, he had 146 rush yards, 2 rush TDs. He added 1 reception for 16 yards and a big win over the Minnesota Vikings, 33-27. David Montgomery, this blew my mind. Did you know that he joins Walter Payton as the only back in Chicago Bear history to ever have 30-plus carries, 140-plus yards, and two rush TDs? How can I not make you a playmaker when you stand alone on a mountain with one of the ultimate playmakers of all time? That's sweetness. David Montgomery, that's sweet to be standing by sweetness and called a playmaker from the playmaker. You are a playmaker, David Montgomery. And you want to co-playmaker this thing. You got greatness in Walter Payton on one side, and you're co-playmaker in this thing with greatness like Tom Brady on the other side. Folks, Tom Brady deserves to be a playmaker for week 15. Playmakers are all about making the plays when you need to make the plays. But it's also about fighting back. In every walk of life, we have playmakers. Because in every walk of life, we have people, especially now in the midst of this pandemic, that are trying to fight back. Tom Brady gave us inspiration and motivation. If he did it, so can we. Tom Brady threw for 390 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions, 110 passer rating. But get this, when we talk fight back, they were killing the Buccaneers. At halftime, the score was 17-0. Everybody said, how is Atlanta beating the Buccaneers 17-0. And folks, in the media, we do two stories. Two stories. They're somewhere under these two headlines. They're writing about greatness as you go up, or they're writing about greatness as you fall down. And they're looking at Tom Brady to see if he's going to fall down. And they had their pins ready and their pins cocked. And they were ready to shoot some ink on a paper and tear Tom up in that first half when they were down 17-0. But Tom, the playmaker, fought back. Did you know that's the fourth game that Tom came back from 17 points down? That's the most in NFL history. That's the most. I wouldn't even do it if it was his first time. I wouldn't even make him a playmaker. The fact that he keeps fighting back and fighting back and fighting back and fighting back. I had to put him here as a message to you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what's going on in your life, look in the mirror in the morning when you put toothbrush to tooth and you say, I'm going to be like Tom Brady. I'm going to be a playmaker. And I'm going to fight back. He threw for 320 yards in the second half. And they won the game because Tom Brady is a playmaker.
Thanks for downloading the MIP. Check out new episodes of the Michael Irvin Podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
This week on Jaws Picks with Ron Jaworski, Peyton Manning.
This is Ron Jaworski. Today I'm joined by legendary quarterback Peyton Manning. You know, in Philadelphia, Carson Wentz had a run of like 4 years of playing terrific quarterback, and all of a sudden he gets benched. How surprised are you by that?
It's probably a good year that there aren't many fans allowed at Philly Stadium when you were Green Jones.
You're right about that. Have you ever given thought about possibly becoming an NFL owner or a general manager of an NFL team? I've always envisioned you in that role.
Yeah, Jaws, I mean, I keep looking for that $3 billion, but I just can't find it. It must be in another account that I'm not aware of. Yeah. So,
hey, I got a C-note in my pocket. I'll invest.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, we'll form a group.
Download new episodes of Jaws Picks with Ron Jaworski every Wednesday and Friday on Podcast One and all your favorite podcasting platforms.